Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
Alrighty, it's a favorite time of the week for me, and I think everyone here in the studio, I'm guessing, right? Yes, yeah. Or yes?
Yes.
All right, good answers, yeah. We got a great crowd in the studio here this morning. We're going to be talking boxing and TV, but not at the same time, or I don't know. And we do have a couple of gentlemen here going to be talking about title boxing, and we discussed earlier, this is a glove-free boxing zone, or... something like that. Yeah. You always give me the stare like, yeah. I don't have an idea what I'm talking about either.
Yeah.
And we have Dream Writers TV also in the studio, going to be talking to us about dreams and TV and writing, and maybe boxing. We'll throw that in there.
That's in your dream.
I feel like I'm in a dream segment already, right? Yeah, this is going to be in a future episode. So, all right. So, Ryan, our producer here, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Like you mentioned, it's 10 a.m. on Tuesday, the most exciting day of the week, the most exciting time. So, ready for a great show here today. And hopefully, our listeners are standing or sitting on the edge of their seats.
Right. All right. So, let's check in. Let's find out our lineup here before we get underway. Actually, let's just say hi to everyone as well, real quick.
Well, good morning. My name is Brian Scott. I'm here with Title Boxing Club.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right.
My name is Jimmy Ferris. I'm also here with Title Boxing Club. Excited to be here and looking forward to a fun show.
Nice.
Awesome. Shay Castle. I'm here with Dream Writers, the television show.
Mm-hmm. I'm Dalton Lilly. I'm here with Dream Writers, and I'm hoping we can work in some boxing today.
Yeah, exactly.
And my name's Nathan Bach, and I'm also with Dream Writers.
Yeah. All right. So, and I'm... not with any of those, but...
you are Rich Casanova.
There you go. Yeah, I didn't introduce myself. Yeah.
No, that's right.
So with... it's funny, TV, radio. Yeah, so this will be interesting.
Okay.
All right, so let's do a formal introduction and find out who we're going to be chatting with here this morning.
Well, first up, I'd like to introduce Mr. Brian Scott. He is owner of Title Boxing Club in Alpharetta and Johns Creek. Brian Scott spent 10 years as a defensive back in the NFL, and three of those seasons with our Atlanta Falcons.
Woohoo! Falcons.
That's right. Yeah. He is the winner of the 2012 Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. Nice. After retiring from professional football in 2012, Brian found his next career step as an entrepreneur and recently became a franchise owner of Title Boxing Club in Alpharetta and Johns Creek. When did that happen for you? When did you become a owner over there?
So actually, I just took over the club's December, December 5th. Actually, I remember the day like it was yesterday.
Right.
And it has just been awesome. I used to think that being a professional athlete, those hours were tough. When you're a business owner, it's around the clock. It never stops.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. So so welcome again to the show. And let's kind of jump into some topics here with you. So transition from NFL to boxing.
I mean,
what's the backstory there? How did that come about?
Man, so, you know, when I used to actually play for Atlanta, during the offseason, getting ready for training camp, there would be a bunch of us NFL guys that would actually, we found a boxing studio down in Buckhead.
Right.
And in the best shape of our lives, ready for training camp, this boxing workout would just completely just wipe us out. We were just exhausted. And so I knew when I got finished playing football, I wanted to do something in the fitness aspect, in the fitness industry. And I learned about Title Boxing, and I was like, this is perfect because I'm done getting hit. I will never hit right. anyone again in life or never get
hear,
hit
yeah.
again. Yes. So the Title Boxing Club is actually a non-fighting, non-sparring club, and it's strictly just fitness and cardio. You do all of your work on a heavy bag. Everyone gets their own heavy bag.
Now, I could almost sign up for that.
I think you could. Yeah. Can you throw a punch, though?
Well, I got to protect this face for radio, man. Yeah. So more intense than Dancing with the Stars, huh?
No question about it. You know, I think boxing and swimming kind of go hand in hand. It's one of those things. It's low stress, low impact on the joints. And I've had my fair share of surgery, so no longer was I just going out and running anymore, trying to lift heavy weights. I wanted to do something else that anyone essentially could do. And so we say from 10 to 110 years old, man or woman, child, anyone can do it.
Well, that's well spoken. Are you the sales rep there too? Whatever. Yeah.
I
hear your passion.
Advocate about this.
Absolutely.
I really am.
So Title Boxing Club. We're doing a little research on this, and so obviously you're involved here in Atlanta, but they go beyond the city here as well, right? Tell us a little bit of the big picture story of...
Yeah, so it's a franchise, and we're all over the country. There's about close to 150 locations right now throughout the country, and you know, it's really just sweeping the nation by storm because, again, it's one of those workouts that... First, let me explain it to you. When you walk into a Title Boxing Club, the first thing that you notice is this heavy bag stand, and they go from anywhere. Any location can have anywhere between 50 to we have 70 bags
Dang.
That are hanging up. Hmm. And the beauty of that is when you walk in, everyone gets their own cubicle, their own workspace. So it's not a matter of trying to keep up with the trainer or keep up to the person to the right or to the left of you. You do your own thing. Mm-hmm. The trainer comes in, we crank the music, we throw on the headset, and we instruct you to what combos to throw, what punches or kicks to throw, but then you work at your own pace. So to the left of you can be an amateur fighter who's just working 1,000 miles a minute. And to the right of you can be your mother or grandmother who's just happy to be there, just, you know, lightly punching away on that heavy
Or your mother-in-law, whatever, yeah. Yeah, it could be a little dangerous, yeah. All right, so as a business, because we're obviously Business Radio X, so
yes.
From a business perspective, did you scout out some other franchises? And actually, we may have you back on a future show if you guys are up for it. We're launching a new show, Franchise Business Radio, to the studio in April. So this is a franchise I think is kind of unique,
yeah.
right?
Yes.
So when you scouted out options, did you look at other franchises or other business ventures? I mean, what was your thought process in drilling down to
I sure
boxing.
Did. Yes. So there were many options as far as franchising goes. And the reason why I specifically wanted to get into the franchise world versus going out and starting my own thing is because I am my entire life pretty much, I'm a sports guy, has been here's a playbook.
Right.
Learn it and execute it perfectly. Mm-hmm. And that's what franchising is. They have given you the blueprint, to success. So I take that playbook in. I went through the manual. I was like, okay, here's the blueprint. Now I just have to perfect it and execute it. And so it kind of just fell hand in hand with what I was so accustomed to. So that's why I chose franchise and why title specifically was, again, something fitness oriented. But I just really loved the workout. I was a member actually before I became a franchisee. And I just fell in love with the product. And it's just a really, just a great workout. And it made sense business wise, whereas it doesn't matter if we have 70 people in the class or one. There's one trainer that I'm paying. I don't have
oh,
to.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah.
I like that math or whatever. Those
yeah.
Margins, yeah. All right. So talk to us about, obviously, there's a lot of analogies between sports and business. So that's why we love this conversation that we have with, we've had some other folks in here from different arenas. But so talk to us about the applications, the principles, and actually, you were mentioning a franchise. That's logical. The Falcons are a franchise, right?
Yes. Yeah, they sure are. Yeah. They sure are.
But
yes.
But talk to us about, from the business perspective, of what principles do you carry over or apply, right, in your day-to-day life as a business owner?
Yes. Well, the it's really the simple things that we find that are simple, but I'm actually now seeing that it's not common. It actually takes, a certain type of person, that dedication and the hard work. So every day you get up and it's paying attention to detail. You can't leave any stone unturned as you go throughout the day. And just like when I get up to train, it was like, okay, how can I go take it back to the bare basics, paying attention to detail, making sure that you're doing everything correctly, customer service, treating people well. And the rest is pretty much history. I mean, outside of that, the recipe for success, no matter what field you're in, is all the same. It doesn't matter if you're into television, radio, just do your job and do it well. That's right. What coaches would always say of us. Listen, it's not simple. It's simple, but it's not easy.
Right, right.
And that's essentially what it is.
I guess correct me if I'm wrong, one of the differences might be is that in obviously you're a team player and you have the coaches, all the staff, whatever in the mix, but you're not having to obviously the fans come into play, but they're not writing you a check per se. I mean, right. You don't have to answer directly to all of, each individual fan collectively.
Right.
If you're a jerk or whatever, you're going to lose, you can have repercussions, whatever, right? But, from a business standpoint, your customers are writing you the checks, right?
Yes.
And then you have a lot of other moving parts. You have payroll issues and you have, there's a lot of spinning plates rather than just doing your job. Yes. Yes. Yes or yes.
Oh man, you hit the nail right on the head. And Jimmy and I, so Jimmy's one of the general managers at the club, and it's funny because we say we could not write a script like this, right. Between the stories of the employees and payroll issues or some members coming in that are unhappy with something, and you just kind of have to flow with it. I mean, there's always a happy medium, and we always talk about it. You're never as good as you think you are. You're never as bad as you think you are. And so you really have to find that happy medium. And, you try to cater to everyone, but at the end of the day, you can't make everyone happy. So you just do the best job that you can.
True.
And we'll formally introduce Jimmy here in a moment and ask him some questions about his backstory and stuff. But as you said, as a business owner, you can't do everything. You've got to kind of turn over the operations to some folks. And so what made you choose Jimmy over here to kind of run your Johns Creek location?
Easy now. He's sitting right next to you.
Right.
Well, no. So the story with Jimmy and I, so Jimmy is 3 years older than me, and Jimmy also played in the NFL. I know you're going to introduce him.
Yeah.
But so when I came into the Falcons as a rookie, Every day that I walked into the facility, I saw this guy in the weight room or just in the facility doing something. And I was like, man, who is this guy that just, he's working so hard. He's the first one there. He's the last one to leave. I always see him paying attention to detail. And so I got to know Jimmy and to learn his story. And he doesn't realize this, but when you're a young rookie coming into the league, you look for somebody that's older that you can kind of attach yourself to. And he just defined success because he comes from a small town. The odds were stacked against him. And the amount of work that he had to put in to stay in the league for as long as he did, I just really attached myself onto that. And I tried to emulate exactly what I saw from Jimmy. And I really think that's what helped me to have such a long, successful NFL career. Wow.
So he helped you out when you first started your NFL career,
definitely
kind of
did.
Guy you looked up to, emulated, you know, your work ethic. And so what does he bring to the table over there at Johns Creek? What's he doing for you over there to make it happen?
When I got into Title Boxing Club, I was like, okay, I need a solid GM, somebody who pays attention to detail, who I can just depend on. And I know he is going to just rock it. And the first person that came to mind was Jimmy, and I was like, Jimmy loves boxing and he's such a great person. I was like, you know what, Jimmy, I'm almost a huge favorite, man. Listen, I'm starting these clubs and would you please come here and help me build up this brand?
Nice.
And he said yes.
So obviously there's a lot of benefits of working with a former teammate. Can you speak on any challenges that may come up about that? What are some of the
and remember this is being recorded.
No question at all. Well, the interesting thing is, so that Jimmy, because he was a wide receiver and I was on defense, we actually competed more than we actually worked together on the practice field. And so now, you know, we had that. We're such like brothers because we see eye to eye on so many things, but then other things we butt heads on.
Yeah.
But I mean, we have such a great friendship where it's like, look, let's hammer it out and then let's keep it moving. And we know whatever we say, it comes from a place of love. So it's like, how can we make this, you know, this club better?
Right.
And I just think it's really neat to say that, you know, when I first got to Atlanta, Jimmy was one of the first people that I met. And now moving on throughout my career, Jimmy and I, we're working hand in hand.
Yeah. And you got that the brotherhood, that relationship that the NFL brings.
History.
And, right. So you can have conversations that you may not have with somebody on a strictly business level.
No question.
Right. You can go head to head about ideas
or stories or conversations that no one else will understand except this guy.
That's good. So
and fight it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So it sounds like good things happening up there at Title Boxing Club in Alpharetta and Johns Creek. What are some of the kind of future plans for you? Where do you see it going from here in the Atlanta area?
Yeah, so we are definitely going to branch out. We have 7 locations that we're going to build out. And so we have 2 up and running. And
in Buckhead? Anything in Buckhead?
The next one we're going to build in Buckhead.
Sweet.
We're going to come down
really?
To Buckhead.
Really? Next one?
Yes. Yeah, the next one is going to be in Buckhead.
We'll have you back on the show.
Thank you. Just branch out.
Right. And just speak a little more about what happens on a day-to-day basis. Is there times that you sign up for classes or you get your kind of separate yourself?
I think that's a good question for the GM, whatever. Yeah, day-to-day operations guy.
Well, yeah. I mean,
Jimmy's sitting here, whatever. Yeah.
He doesn't know what goes on day-to-day. He's just the owner.
Right.
I'm the guy up there making it happen.
There you go. Yeah. Let's bring Jimmy into the show here.
Okay. Yeah. All right, we can do that now.
Find out Jimmy's story.
We'll talk about that. And so Jimmy Ferris spent 6 seasons in the NFL as a wide receiver, 3 of those seasons with the Atlanta Falcons. In 2012, he was a House of Representatives candidate and recently an analyst for Comcast Sports. Jimmy teamed up with Brian as a former Falcons teammate and is now the manager of Title Boxing Club in Johns Creek. All right.
Welcome to the show.
That's right. House of Representatives to Falcons to now GM, and you covering it all over there.
Yeah, football, the politics, the business, right?
Yeah, he's the cosmic commander or whatever. Yeah, he's got all these titles going on.
All right. So, that's great.
So talk to us about, we talked about y'all teaming up as teammates, and pick up with this. What is the day-to-day look like over there at any of the clubs, or specifically, I guess, Johns Creek?
Yeah, it's interesting because the day-to-day is a lot the same and drastically different every day. You know, you could wake up to a phone call at 6 in the morning. There's a fire you got to put out, essentially. A trainer didn't show or something that didn't happen that you got to handle, and other days everything works perfectly. Brian and I are really hands-on, so we kind of have taken the title that we do anything and everything in the club, you know, down, you know, from opening the club to driving sales, doing memberships to cleaning toilets and cleaning the bathroom.
Got to do that sometimes.
Training classes. I mean, that's the life of an entrepreneur or franchisee, right? And you know, you kind of just do whatever the job calls for. And, you know, that's one of the things that obviously, you know, you talked about some of our football experience and some of the things we've done before. That helped us. Go ahead.
Yeah, talk to us a little bit. We've talked about the maybe some analogies as well with the NFL, but House of Representatives candidate and sports talk.
Yeah,
that's an interesting mix. So before becoming GM, so you still have your hands in any of that, or
you know, I still do some TV here and there. That's an opportunity based thing for sure. Can't just go on TV, but you know, the running for office was something that I'd wanted to do for a while. I'm obviously really passionate about politics and you know, putting myself in a position where I feel like I can, you know, do things that benefit the greater good and the collective whole and be of service to others. And so I think, you know, the experience I can take from a campaign, for instance, coming back, you know, into the business world is that they're both very people oriented endeavors, you know, and you talk about, you know, kind of catering to people or serving people or customer service, you know, the retail politics aspect of trying to, you know, sell yourself and,
as a brand,
and your policies and what you support. You know, that's something that we do every day in Title. You know, every time somebody comes in, we, you know, you try to find a way to bring the conversation around to how what we offer can benefit somebody in their life. And so that's something that I had a lot of experience doing, trying to sell myself to constituents in Idaho.
In Idaho?
Yeah, I was in Idaho. I'm born and raised in Idaho. And so I had lived in Atlanta for 9 years. I moved back to Idaho in 2011. Wanted to get back close to my family. I felt like it was that time of my life to do that. And so I ran for office. I really wanted to get involved in Idaho politics and see what I could do up there to kind of make a difference. And you know, ultimately, there were just too many things about Atlanta that I missed. You know, Brian, one of my best friends, being one of those things. I just felt like, you know, the disconnection from friends and you know, relationships that I had down here. And so when he started talking about jumping into this thing and said, you know, would you be willing to, I was like, the sooner you buy it, the sooner I can get back down there.
Let me know when.
Let me know. And literally he called me and said, hey, this thing is happening. And I think I hung up and called the moving company like right after that and said, I'm on the way. So
amazing. So we don't normally talk politics here, but what party did you run with?
I'm a Democrat. Okay. I ran on the Democratic ticket in Idaho, which is one of the most conservative states in the country. And the district that I ran is the most conservative district in the country. So I knew going in, you know, what my odds were. And it was, of course, I didn't jump into it thinking I'm just here to kind of hold a seat and I know that I'm going to lose. I mean, we had a definite strategy and a reason why I jumped into that race at the time that I did against the guy that I ran against.
Well, 2016, you could give Hillary a shot, whatever.
Shoot for the stars there.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know.
There's going to be opening at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue from what I hear.
2028 is my target.
Oh, okay,
nice. Yeah, wow. Yeah.
I'll have you back in the studio then.
Okay, so let's talk about, we heard Brian's version of the story. What's your version as far as, you know, teaming up or getting sold on the idea of title boxing from the NFL?
So he talked about me being a boxing fan. Boxing has been like number two to football my entire life. Okay. I when I was 8 years old, I vividly remember I saw my first Mike Tyson fight and fell in love with boxing at that point in time. So I've been a boxing nut for, you know, over 30 years. And, you know, when I was younger, used to, you know, try to do some training and, of course, you know, we'd find a pair of gloves with our buddies and go fight or spar out in the yard. And and then, like Brian said, you know, when I got down here to Atlanta and we found that boxing club down here in Buckhead and we started training in the offseason, I just fell in love with that concept of being able to box and, of course, not get punched.
You know, I love that idea.
Nobody wants to actually get punched.
You got
to
open or lead with that or whatever,
So, but just the aspect of how great of a workout that it was, like Brian said, low impact, you know, very low risk of any type of injury. And it was something that at the peak of our conditioning, we really, you know, could walk out of there just completely exhausted. We decided, we always kind of said, man, if we ever got into the fitness business, boxing would be what we did. And so that's a true story. And it took a little bit longer maybe than we thought to come around, but here we are 10-12 years later.
Nice. So we're going to segue to the TV guys here in a second, but tell us about kind of back to the day-to-day operations for listeners. Can you share with us like a membership, you know, cost or how do they become a member or you know, trials or, you know, what are some fees?
Sure. One of the things that Title has is what we call first shot free. So anybody who wants to come take a class, try it out, see what it's all about. We offer that first class for free. Just come in, fill out a guest registration form. We'll get your hands wrapped, get you a pair of gloves, give you a little tutorial, get you on a bag, and get you going. And that's really something that we encourage anybody to do, because, you know, those boxing clubs or a boxing environment can seem intimidating to people from the outside. And when they come in, they're sometimes a little bit intimidated. They don't know what to expect. It's not like walking into a normal gym or fitness facility. And so we always encourage everybody, just come in and take your first shot free. After that, we've got a couple.
I saw that on the website. Yeah.
Yeah.
First shot for free.
First shot free. Yeah.
There's a lot of bars that do that. You should.
Yeah.
That's a whole other show.
Absolutely.
But,
But you know, there's different membership options we have. We've got an annual membership that gets you what's called our title card. It gets you access to all clubs around the country, all 150 or so locations, both here in Atlanta. We've got a month-to-month membership that we do that'll get you access to just one particular club here in the area. We do. We're about to do a summer special for college kids and people like that that are back in town for the summer. And so we've got a lot of options. We just encourage everybody to come up to the Johns Creek or the Alpharetta location and check us out.
Do you have a seniors discount or a deal?
Do you have your AARP card? We got you.
We'll talk after the show. Whatever. Yeah. Real quick is okay. May 2nd. Who do you guys have? Mayweather.
Money Mayweather.
Okay. Yes?
No. Okay. Well, Pacquiao, just because he's a Mayweather.
This is what
fan.
He does.
Okay. Uh-oh. We struck.
This is, these are, when he talked about butting heads on things.
That's why you stick to the script, Rich, or whatever. Yeah, that wasn't on the list.
The good thing about us is the things we butt heads on, it's never like actual really
serious
business stuff. It's, you know, it's over things like that. Like, you know, how much pine saw to use in the mop bucket and things like that.
I see a TV show over there. So are these guys, are you feeling a little dream? There might be a sequence or a segue here, but
we've both got some acting experience.
So here comes the pitch. Yeah.
Well, the great thing about our show is in our show we have different scenes that are dream sequences. So maybe we can fit something in where it's a boxing match. There you go. Yeah, I like it.
Well, we're very dreamy type guys. Also,
that's
hey
true.
Now. Hey now,
former NFL player.
Yeah. So tell our listeners how would they find out about the club. Give us their website, social media, whatever they
website,
need, phone numbers.
Yes, titleboxingclub.com. And actually, you can look at the different locations. And one's Johns Creek, titleboxingclub.com. The other is alpharetta-maine.titleboxingclub.com. And just go to the website. I can give phone numbers. The phone number to the Johns Creek Club is 678-620-3623. And to the Alpharetta location is 770-864-5492. There's group times throughout the day. You know, we have four classes on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, three on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then two over the weekends. We're open 7 days a week.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Come in.
Right after church or whatever.
Yes.
Head over.
Brian and I are actually trainers, too. So if you want to come take a class from us. We'll
autograph
sure
included? Or yeah,
autograph
sure,
included.
Sure.
High energy class. Yes.
Yeah, Rich, we'll be up there next week. I'm going to get this guy in the gym one of these days.
Yeah, exactly,
I promise.
Yeah. He does CrossFit.
Yeah, I try to get it, do a little bit
of
everything.
I exercise every day on the elevator coming up and down.
That's right.
Okay, we better get to our next segment here. But we definitely encourage you all maybe to, if you want to grab a notepad or something like that, cut a couple notes if there's some follow-up questions. We may have some open panel discussion once we wrap up our next segment here. Mm-hmm. So if you think of some questions for any of these folks as you're listening. So, all right. So let's find out who's next up on the show.
Well, first, I'd like to remind our listeners, you're listening to Buckhead Business Radio, broadcasting live from Peachtree offices overlooking the beautiful Buckhead area. You can tune in live every Tuesday at 10 a.m. for more compelling conversations with interesting folks just like the ones we just heard here. Next up is Dream Riders TV. First, I'd like to introduce Nathan Bach. Nathan has been producing video content for over 10 years, dating back to his days at McEachern High School in Powder Springs, Georgia. In that time, he's produced over 500 projects as a freelance videographer, editor, and motions graphic designer in Atlanta. As the creator and executive producer of Dream Riders, this is Nathan's first venture as a television producer. All right. Sounds good.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's it.
Exactly. Thanks for being here. Yeah.
Thanks.
And a Falcons fan.
Oh, I am. You know, it's not, it's completely coincidental.
Yeah.
But
you had no idea
awesome.
These guys were going to be here, right?
No, I didn't.
He's got his Falcons hat on. Wow.
I was talking through. I was like, should it be a Braves hat? Oh, should it be Falcons hat? You know, I'm going Falcons today.
Or Patriots. Or, you dodged the bullet there.
I know. Well, yeah.
All right. So let's talk to us big picture, Nathan, here about the concept, the show, and how this got underway. Yeah.
So the concept of the show, in a quick elevator pitch, I guess, the show is about three 20-somethings who work for a top-secret government organization, and they write people's dreams. So imagine when you go to sleep at night that your dreams aren't actually created by yourself. They're created by a team of writers who are able to stream their ideas and dreams into your own head. So it kind of follows the ins and outs of this one team who's led by a head writer named Sam, his best friend named Quinn, and then a brand new writer named Russell. And they're the worst team at the office. They're kind of the underdogs of the story. And so that is, in a nutshell, kind of what the show is about. It's just about, it's a you know, workplace comedy, just about these guys and how terrible they are at their job and how they kind of are ruining their dreamer's life because they're just not up to par with their job. So the concept kind of came to me in 2012. I was working freelance and I was doing some stuff and I was getting a little stagnant, just kind of feeling like I wanted to try something different. I had done some short films and I like helping friends out and things like that on short films. And so the market for web series was kind of exploding at the time. And so I thought, well, that's kind of cool. Maybe I could do a web series. So I took this idea and I developed it as a web series. I cast the gentlemen that are with me, Ben, Shay, and Dalton. I cast them as my three main characters. So we didn't know each other before this. We shot the one episode and then got some feedback from some people who said, you know what, this is a really cool thing. It's a really cool idea and you're executing it well. I would consider maybe developing it for television instead of going down the web series route. So very quickly, we kind of scrapped the web series idea and said, let's just develop it for television. And that's been what we've been doing for the last year and a half, is just developing this television show.
And I know we're going to talk about the crowdfunding element here, which
sure.
caught our attention on social media.
Sure.
But before we get into that, talk to us. So is this a pilot that you're creating the series from the web series? You're going to be pitching it to a network?
Yeah, that's a great question. So what we've done is we've kind of set up our show and our process in terms of phases. So last year was all the development phase. We developed the characters. We created this universe. And then at the tail end of last year, we started moving into the next phase, which was fundraising to get everything that we needed to get done in order to actually produce this pilot that we've written.
Right.
And so we just got out of that phase with the Kickstarter that we ran in February. And now we're moving into the next phase, which is producing what's called a presentation pilot.
Oh, okay.
So this is an episode that will be used as a way to kind of it's like a proof of concept,
to
show networks that we are capable of doing this.
And you have
this.
An audience and the social proof and all that good stuff.
Yeah. And I don't want to go too deep into it because that's more for this guy right here, Dalton to my right.
And we're going to go and jump in because you have three other gentlemen here in the studio.
Absolutely.
So we're going to kind of open this up a little bit more of a panel discussion as well. But let's quickly jump in and introduce the other person to the right of you, Dalton, and find out a little bit about Dalton here.
All right. Dalton Lilly, that's his name. And Dalton's background includes a work as a corporate executive, private consultant, life coach, and entrepreneur. In 2011, he left the corporate world and began pursuing a career in entertainment. He began by co-founding the sketch comedy group Kinda Sketchy, which has been attributed immortal status on Funny or Die. He is now an Atlanta actor, co-founder of Catapult Acting Studios, and executive production of Dream Writers.
And some of your buddies, there's some activity going on here
in the
studio.
Yeah, they're already laughing at me. Life coach
got me.
Exactly.
I could use some life coaching over here. Yeah, I'll take some.
There's business Dalton, and then there's party Dalton.
Hang around him long enough, you
as
might
you
not
can
want
tell,
his life
he's
coach.
Wearing a blazer today, so right now he's business Dalton.
He's the executive in the room, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Well, it sounds much better when you read it on paper. Not me in real life.
So talk to us about the play in crowdfunding, and then we're going to talk to some of the other guys as well here. So most people, conversations we've actually had the president of the Georgia Crowdfunding Association, and we've had, of course, Atlanta Tech Village. Mm-hmm. a lot of conversation about crowdfunding. But I think that one of the biggest misnomers is people see this on the internet. They go, oh, that's cool. I'll just throw up a video and a website, and then people start sending me money. I'll just sit back, right? Everybody's shaking their head no, right?
Only it were that easy.
Right, yeah, and they hear these outrageous stories, but not even those stories, because, you know, even if you're not, you know, getting crazy amount of money, they're saying it's all free money or whatever, right? But I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the biggest misnomer that people have that I've seen is that people just figure, okay, that's a campaign. Let's kick it off on Indiegogo or Kickstarter, and we're good to go. They forget that it's about funding, but you have to have a crowd, right?
I mean, sure. I mean, it is crowdfunding. Yeah, if you don't have a crowd, there is no funding.
You look at them, they have 50 Twitter followers, and it's like, right. Good luck on that. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it really is its own job. Yeah. I mean, we spent probably a month all day, every day, trying to set up a strategy to execute a successful campaign, and then the same amount of time during the campaign to try to continue to drive it. Uh-huh. Because you can have the best product available. Not saying that ours is. It is, though. It is. We'll say it is. Right. But unless you have the reach, and you can convince people to get behind your project, you have no chance at raising the funds you need. And for us, we raised $75,000, and
that was your campaign amount. You exceeded that.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, yeah. We it was a successful campaign, and we actually went over $75,000, which sounds like an absurd amount of money, but if you break it down into all of its incremental pieces, which is kind of a microcosm of what we've done with this whole process in its entirety, is looking at it as we're trying to develop a television show, which when you just say it sounds insane, and a lot of people think that you're
crazy.
It's
like Seinfeld kind of stuff, whatever, yeah.
Right, like what are you doing? You can't do that. But if you break down an objective into its most incremental pieces and just look at each one individually, we feel like we can accomplish anything. And the crowdfunding is a good example of that. And we sweat it for a while, because one of the roughest parts about crowdfunding is you have a really good honeymoon phase right out of the beginning, where you typically raise anywhere around like 25% to 33% of your funds. And then it just sits. It just sits. And you're wondering, oh my gosh, have we done something wrong? Are we not going to be successful? And then it just goes crazy at the end, which is the exact same thing that happened with us.
And you have the perks and all that stuff. And I was following, I think it was a Saturday when it wrapped up, and I was kind of watching to see, like, you're like, come on, last final hours here.
Did he back the project? Did he help us out, or was he just watching?
I remember seeing Rich Casanova from the backer report.
Right, there you go. All right, so let's introduce our next gentleman in the studio. We'll continue the open panel discussion.
Yeah, part of the Dream Writers TV crew over here is Shay Castle. Shay is an Atlanta-based actor, writer, currently developing Dream Writers and acting as associate producer.
Yeah, it sounds a little less impressive than Dalton's rap sheet, but well, yeah.
So you don't have you're not a life coach, whatever. Yeah.
Well, I guess if he is one, I probably
there
could
you go.
Be.
You should
go ahead and reintroduce me.
Okay,
just
let's
add
start
that.
Again.
Life coach
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shay Castle.
Nice. Okay, so where do you fit the mix of all this monkey business here?
Like you mentioned, my title on the show is associate producer. I'm also acting on the show, really. And as an associate producer, I do basically anything it takes to make the show happen. So while, Nathan and Dalton are doing a lot of the big picture stuff and reaching out to connections and running the show, I do a lot of what we've begun to call the Charlie work. If anyone's familiar with It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, basically any tasks that need to be done quickly and efficiently, they kind of throw them at me and add them onto my long list of things.
You're the
go-to
research
guy. Or editing or anything like that of the script and all that kind of stuff. So yeah,
but not gopher. That's not your official title, Larry.
Well, no.
Just, but you make things happen.
Yeah, I guess
there you go.
I guess you could make it phrase it like that. It sounds a little impressive that way. I guess
yeah, exactly.
I make things happen.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, some things they didn't even ask you to make happen. Whatever. Yeah,
that's just have that on a business card. I make things.
Shay
happen.
Castle makes things happen.
Okay, so let's bring our next gentleman into the segment here. Ben, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Amazing day today so far, or what?
Yeah, fun. A lot of fun.
All right.
It's kind of weird, yeah.
I like the accent you thrown in there or whatever.
Thank you. I just decided
you guys
for the
should
radio
consider an accent.
I
yeah.
know.
You guys are
what
dropping
are we
the
thinking?
Ball over there. So, Ben, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background for a second, and then where you fit
so,
in
okay,
here.
To explain the accent, I did grow up in England. Came across. I went to school down in Florida. I was
right.
a soccer player. That's how I got across. And then...
lacrosse or soccer?
Soccer.
You said lacrosse.
Across.
No,
British for
across. I know. Sorry, it was my attempt at humor, yeah.
Randomly, I moved to South Korea for a couple of years, met an American girl. We got married, came back. That's why I'm here.
Wow.
And then I did stand-up comedy. Closer? Right.
Yeah, talk better? Close into the
there
mic.
There we go. I've obviously not been on the radio before.
Right. So stand-up comedy.
Yeah, when I first moved to Atlanta, I was on the stand-up scene. Okay. There's a really good comedy community in town, actually. The Laughing Skull Lounge was kind of my home club. Great open mic Star Bar. I got to give a shout-out to those guys. So did that, did the rounds of the comedy community for a while.
What about the Punchline?
The Punchline a couple of times, yeah. I was more involved down in Midtown at the Laughing Skull.
We had Jamie in here, the founder.
But, oh, right, yeah.
Maybe we'll do a comedy radio, but...
Yeah, and the festival, the Laughing Skull Festival, is coming up as well this weekend.
When is that?
Just this weekend, coming up.
Nice.
Give them a shout out.
Rich, you're going to enter?
They've helped us out.
Yeah.
I think you should. Your comedy stylings of Rich Casanova.
After lacrosse comment, I'm gonna hang up my comedy microphone.
Good idea.
All right, so Ben, where do you fit? What's your
My official title is head writer.
Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, this was new to all of us. We were all kind of, you know, approaching this and just diving in right at the deep end. So I was the one with the most writing experience, which... wasn't too hard. You know, after doing stand-up, you know, for a few years, obviously you got to continuously be writing every day. And then myself and Dalton, actually, I met Dalton in a sketch class, Sketchworks Comedy over in Decatur. And we started our own, like, YouTube group, essentially, called Kinda Sketchy. And we had some success on Funny or Die. And I was writing most of the sketches for that. Dalton did most of the hard work for that. And yeah, so it kind of fell in place that I was the writer for this. And but really, it's been a collaborative thing the whole way through. I get the script, write it, give it to these guys, they tear it up, tell me it's not funny, and then we do it again.
Well, I have to ask. I don't know if this question has been burning inside me. Has anybody incorporated their own dreams into the writing of the show?
I had a dream as during development. I had a dream that I came to a meeting the next week and I pitched it to the guys. The dream itself was actually an episode. Like it was like I was watching
dreaming
an episode.
A dream of Dream Writers.
Yes, exactly. That's how much it's in my head right now. And I pitched it to the guys and they were like, "Oh, we love that." So if we have an opportunity to actually, you know, make an entire season or two, three seasons.
But really,
of this,
there's no restrictions on what you can write because it's like the world is wide
we
open.
We wanted a show that could really just kind of go in any direction at any given time, and I think that we've accomplished that with this concept.
That's great. I know I'm a very vivid dreamer myself. Some mornings I wake up and I go, "What was I dreaming?" Right. I feel like a whole different person just went through my head and when I wake up.
And everyone has that too. It's relatable too. You know, we get to touch on those dreams that everyone has, the kind of, you know, your public speaking, naked in public or whatever it might be. So everyone's going to be familiar with a lot of the stuff that we bring into the world, which is cool.
No, that's great. And so you guys have had a few episodes in the can, or where are you in development
one web pilot, and that was kind of, it was a 9-minute episode that we shot in January of 2014, and that was kind of what kicked this whole thing off. So it was an episode that I wrote before I brought these guys into the mix. And they had kind of just come on as actors. And I alluded to it a little while ago. We shot this one episode and then we showed it around to some people. And then that was when, at that time, we decided to kind of forego the web series route and develop it fully as a television show. So from there, we've been writing our pilot script, which is a completely different direction from what the web series was. Got the same basic principles and the same characters involved, but we've been writing that script for the last few months. And then in April, finally, we're going to be able to actually shoot our pilot. And at that point, we'll have a full 22-minute episode.
And where do you go from there? Kind of roadmap it for us and what people can expect, you know, after you guys start shooting your first pilot.
Sure. A lot of people, most people don't understand what goes into making a television show. It's either it never existed and then all of a sudden it's on television. That's not really how it works. Mm-hmm. So for us, this pilot episode, like Nathan was talking about earlier, is really a proof of concept. And in the grand scheme of things, if it's picked up by a network or we're on some type of distribution platform, there's a good chance that it'll have to be reshot no matter what. So for us, it's really a $75,000 test run, which sounds absurd when you say it like that. Mm. But for us, it's a way that we can prove and generate our own level of credibility, because you're really trying to sell trust to networks and potential buyers. So with the pilot, kind of the game plan is, the typical setup is you would shoot a pilot. So we have the first season kind of mapped out as far as where we would like to take the season if it were a 10-episode season. And then we have a general arc for the story in its entirety. Mm-hmm. But the main focus is definitely on shooting the pilot and then probably packaging it with an agent, either getting a named producer or production company on board, and then going the route of trying to have it picked up by a network.
And does that involve like going out to LA, sitting down with network executives, kind of pitching it to them, or you just kind of wing it? I mean, how does it go?
Yeah, it certainly can. I mean, in the beginning, we were definitely winging it. I mean, that's been a lot of this process is having no idea what we're doing.
That was the original title, right? Yeah.
ATX is the big thing for us. What is coming up? Well, you explain.
Yeah, so ATX is one of the largest, if not the largest, pitch competitions. It's a festival. It's a television festival in Austin, Texas, and part of the festival is a pitch competition. Mm-hmm. So we submitted, and out of, I don't know, a few hundred to 1,000 applicants, they select 25 semifinalists, and we were fortunate enough to be one of those semifinalists.
Wow.
And then you submit a writing sample, and out of those 25, 10 are selected to actually pitch at the festival. And there's a lot of networks there, HBO, Netflix, nice. Comedy Central, FX, which coincidentally are probably the top four platforms that we would like for our show to be on.
So that's in Austin, Texas. When does that take place?
Yep. The actual festival, I believe, is June 4th through June 7th, and we should find out in April if we're a finalist or not.
Right. So, yeah, stay tuned for more on that. And you can follow these guys on Twitter, on Facebook, Dreamwriters TV, both on Twitter and Facebook, so people can follow you there. Stay tuned to the development of the show, and hopefully you guys get picked up in a major network, and then your dreams come true.
Oh, I see what you did.
I like what he did there.
So each of the three of y'all are, correct me if I'm wrong, acting in the series.
Correct, yes. Yeah. We're kind of, we're the main characters as well as doing all the gopher work and the writing and the exec producing and everything.
Well, and it really began as being the actors on the show. You know, Nathan came to us with, I think it was five web series scripts already written, and we entered a small rewrite phase where we came in, gave a little bit of our ideas, but originally we were just going to be the actors on the show and helping develop it in that way. And once it turned into a television show, our jobs really expanded quite a bit. So
how did y'all meet? How did you find each other? Yeah, what's that?
I cast them. Web series, I put out a casting call on some of the local
on Craigslist or
yeah, no, it was just
eBay,
just on the street.
That's
with
where
a sign.
I was getting most of my acting work.
Yeah, I just made.
All right, what's the one?
So I cast them as the three main characters, which it you know, I think that it is one of those, like, the stars just happened to align because I just got paired up with these guys that have just turned into, you know, my best friends, and we've really kind of become a family. And we talk about how it's like we're married. Jimmy and Brian, you guys alluded to it earlier. When you are kind of running a business, which we're doing on our end right now, you have to understand that, you know, you can yell and you can fight and you can butt heads, but as long as you know that everyone's going after the same goal, which is, you know, really to just find success in whatever outlet it is that you're going after. We do that all the time. And it's been really cool for me because these are guys that 2 years ago I didn't know. And now I see him every day, and it's just been really cool.
I nearly never came on board. Dalton and I knew each other before the rest of the guys from doing the sketch works over in Decatur. And Nathan had found us online doing the kind of sketchy webisode stuff, and that's how he decided to get in touch. And I remember the email. I was actually sat around at Dalton's house when Dalton received an email from Nathan. And he said, "Oh, you know, I'm creating this series. It's called Dreamwriters. Good concept. I'd love to have you involved." And then the second email came through, which is like, "Oh, would your sidekick be interested as well?" So just on principle, I was like, "No, I'm out. Yeah. I don't want anything to do with this."
You don't like being a sidekick?
I need to get him a t-shirt that just
says
Batman, sidekick.
I'm not ramen.
So let's go to each of the actors, if you will, and tell, obviously, Atlanta is probably one of the biggest hotbeds of activity in TV, movie, film production. Actually, we have a show. We don't know if it's going to get the green light, but they're talking to Atlanta Hollywood Radio. So, so we'd love to maybe make some connections or have you all back on to have
that
conversation.
Just let us know.
Yeah. Right. But let's start with Ben. So tell us, obviously, this is now kind of in the can and waiting for the green light or to move forward on. So in the interim, if you will, are you involved in any other projects or acting or
what's on your
horizon? Or
just last night, I was attending the Atlanta Film Festival. It was the premiere of my first feature movie, which was called Good Grief Suicide Hotline.
Oh, wow.
By Atlanta director Sam Carter. And there was a ton of Atlanta talent involved in that. Drop a few names, Evan Fowler, Casey Holloway, Ron Ogden. So I was there last night. There's an upcoming horror movie that I'm going to be in called Sleepwalkers, another feature film. But really, just to speak more on, you know, what's going on in Atlanta, there is a ton of stuff. But the reality is, there's so many people out there trying to get involved. The best thing that you can do for yourself is create your own content.
Right.
So once this was a possibility for all of us, because otherwise you're just waiting around, you're waiting for your agent to call. You might get a line here or there and it's good. Oh, you know, great. You get to go on the originals. That's all fantastic. But at the same time, if you really want to try and make it happen for yourself and create a character and a project which is going to be kind of interesting to you as an actor and hopefully kind of kickstart your career, then you've just got to get out there and do your own thing. Right. And if me and Dalton hadn't done kind of sketchy, Nathan wouldn't have found us. You know, it never would have happened. So that's, you know, for any other aspiring actors out there trying to, you know, create their own career, I would say just get out and just do work. I mean, you got to do a lot of free work, unfortunately, but right. Align yourself with good people. I was very fortunate to find these guys.
You're welcome.
Very good. And what about for you, Shay? Anything else that you're working on besides Dreamwriters TV? Are you 100% all day, every day?
I am, honestly, right now. My story is a little bit different from these other guys. I come from a majorly a theater background. I have a Bachelor of Fine Arts in theater from Wright State University in Ohio, which is where I'm originally from. And I moved to Atlanta to kind of pursue acting in that way. And I also followed my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, here. And honestly, I kind of lost my passion for acting once I got in the business. A lot of rejection, a lot of no's. And I just kind of was like, I don't know that this is what I want to do. And I was just writing stuff for fun, doing sketches here and there, doing some little videos with some friends. And that's when Nathan contacted me about this. And I was like, oh, you know what? I'll just do it. I'm not going to get paid. It'll just be a fun thing. And it's really blown up from there. And honestly, it's really kickstarted my passion for acting. And I was talking to these guys before we even came in here today about what the future holds for Dreamwriters and for us as actors. And, you know, even if nothing really big comes from Dreamwriters specifically, it's put us all in a much different place in our careers to where hopefully if we shoot the thing and it's good, people might want me to be on their show. You know, I have, you know.
I was at the festival last night and everyone was asking about it.
Like, oh, really?
I felt awkward because, you know, I was at this festival, you know, the premiere for a film and everyone was talking about Dreamwriters. And I was like, hey, let's concentrate on what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like when they bring somebody on a late night TV show and all they're talking about everything else except for their
current project. But it was really exciting too because people are genuinely interested in what's going on in town.
Right?
Like, we want to create jobs and have this as be a sustainable show in Atlanta, you know, to kind of give opportunities to people that don't necessarily always get them.
Well, and tying that back into the Kickstarter, I mean, it started off as we needed to raise funds for the pilot, and it'd be nice because we should get some publicity out of it. It completely flipped in that the connections that we've developed, even out of our local market, it was a phenomenal marketing tool for the show and has put us in a position where we have a much better opportunity to execute this thing. And then now the supplemental piece is that we raised enough money to shoot the pilot. So it's kind of interesting how that's flipped completely.
And you ended up on Radio X.
I was going to say that this wouldn't have happened had it not been for a Kickstarter. That's a non-monetary benefit, but a huge
benefit. Look, let's be honest. You wouldn't have had us on if we wouldn't have raised our money.
We talked about having you guys on, the week before or something like that? But then I think you would have been stressed or whatever. And
The show would have been how to not run a Kickstarter.
Exactly.
And what do you attribute to your success with that that crowdfunding campaign? Is it because but no, I mean, your social network, did you do a lot of groundwork to kind of get those funds? I mean, how did it
we
all
harassed
play
everybody as well?
Yeah, I think most of our, you know, quote unquote success comes from just being analytical and thinking about things and always assessing our options, asking the right questions, and then acting after we've done that. Mm-hmm. And whether it's the script, whether it's the crowdfunding campaign, or whether it's trying to get it picked up, we know that we don't have as much experience as somebody else that might be in the industry, but we also know that there's no reason that we, with the skill sets that we have or with bringing additional people in, can't achieve whatever everybody else can. So
I know there's other folks out there wanting to kind of go the same route you are, and you've now kind of set the bar pretty high. And so not only with your talent level, but your crowdfunding success, and you know, definitely hoping that it keeps on going up for you guys.
Yeah, and that's been really interesting is the people that we've been able to connect with since the crowdfunding campaign, of people that are like, I want to pick your brain, or I want to understand how you were able to do this or to do this. And I think that for us, you know, it on the outside, it did look like, you know, we threw this up on a Friday afternoon. But you know, there were months and months and months of research and development. And you know, we had to get all of those graphics put in place. We had to do a video and we had to,
and then you have to stay on top of it. So like day to day.
Exactly.
Somebody said
it was really hard.
I think
hard.
You're talking about, Dalton, it's like it's almost a full-time effort or project.
Oh, we had you should see our calendar that we had of just promotional tasks to accomplish during the campaign. I mean, every day had 15 to 20 items that we had to do every day of the Kickstarter campaign. So over 30 days, you're talking about thousands of executable tasks. It's just, it's
like
insane.
A real job. I didn't know actors did all that work.
Well, that's it. It was completely different and separate from anything that you, you know, would imagine yourself being involved with as an actor, because it was more like, sort of, you know, I felt like the Wolf of Wall Street at times, you know, just on the phone trying to solicit money from people, harassing everyone you've ever known. Like, we exported all our Gmail contacts. It was like anyone that ever had an email from us was going to get hammered again with Dreamwriter stuff, sort of thing. So, well,
and talking about people that, that kind of want to go a similar path, that's a good transition just to talk about one of the hardest things to do is to just do it. Because there's so many roadblocks that can snag you, whether I'm not capable or I don't want to pester my friends. Yeah. It, the people that are really close to you and really care about you see the passion that you have for the project and are encouraging in that. So I would just encourage people not to be scared of the unknown and to go after it. And the people that see your passion will be behind you.
Yeah, no doubt. So a couple of closing comments here. We might bring the folks back in again one more time if there's some little cross conversation or questions. But and also mention, before we forget, let's tell listeners once again how they find out. What's the website?
Yeah, the easiest part, we've tried to make it as streamlined as possible. It's just Dreamwriters TV. So if you go to our website is dreamwriters.tv. Our Twitter handle is at Dreamwriters TV. If you go to our Facebook, facebook.com/DreamwritersTV, and then our YouTube page, which you can get a lot of, you know, kind of insight. We have a lot of videos up, and we try to keep that as popular and as current as possible, is youtube.com/DreamwritersTV. So just Dreamwriters TV. You Google it, you'll find it.
And do you have a MySpace or a fax number? Or
no, none of those.
You can call my pager.
Keep up. Pager, Who has a pager? All right, so... And I have a couple of thoughts. We'll maybe talk after the show, but I'd love to either see if you all have some ideas of who we might connect with to, I think there's, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but maybe a dedicated show or series on the whole film and entertainment here in Atlanta.
Man, I hope, I you know, you were saying that you're not sure if it is going to get the green light. That is a fantastic idea for a show, because the market here, so the crazy thing about this market is that it's so new and it's so fresh, and there's so many people that are, they want to know how to get involved, or they want to know how to get started, and they just don't really.
I mean, who would you have on a show like that? Like the producers, even the staging people, and the site locators. I mean, to the associations, or who did you mention?
There's a great podcast called The Nerdist, which kind of does a similar type thing. But going to the industry, I mean, that's the exciting thing about a show like that is you could have on a writer, you could have on an actor, you could have on an executive producer, each
set
role.
Set dressers.
It's so significantly different that you could base a show, you could do a whole segment, a 1-hour segment, just on one role in the industry without even getting into somebody's personal experience. Go ahead.
I'll delve into personal. Let's talk personal, whatever, Yeah, so we'll talk about that. And then also the crowdfunding. I mean, we've talked about doing a crowdfunding show, so we'll talk maybe afterwards about that. But so, Jimmy, jump back in one more time and remind our listeners how they find out about y'all, the website, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, Title Boxing Club, website titleboxingclub.com, johnscreek.titleboxingclub.com, alpharetta/main.titleboxingclub.com. If you just Google, title boxing
and
Atlanta.
Put in the zip code and the location.
We're North Atlanta, Alpharetta, Johns Creek area, 30022. Zip code. So
and coming to Buckhead soon, right?
And coming to Buckhead soon, yes.
And I don't want to put you on the spot, but Brian, timeline on that?
Well, I was going to say, what location in Alpharetta? What's it near? What's a kind of physical address?
So the Alpharetta location is on Highway 9 in between Windward Parkway and Old Milton Parkway. The Johns Creek location is on Holcomb Bridge, roughly in between Holcomb Bridge, basically 141 and 400, right over by kind of halfway in between, kind of by Centennial High School, Barnwell Road area. The plan is to expand, but of course, you know, you got to we got to build up the ones that we have now and make sure that we're.
And you mentioned some summer specials for the teenagers or college kids coming home. Any other events going on this summer or things happening down there our listeners should know about?
Yeah, well, we always try to have different events and different challenges that we're going on. We're actually going to start in April, start this in 30 days
in 45 days, get 30 workout challenge to all of our members.
Okay.
And, you know, try to get them really in. We're trying to get all of our members ready and excited for the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
Members are coming in for a lot of different reasons, whether it's just overall health and wellness, whether it's losing weight, losing inches, mm-hmm. whether it's, we call it, you know, getting the gun show ready for the summer for the women.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
I'm signing up, by
I'm
the
in.
Way.
I'm in.
These guys told me in the foyer about up front.
Well, it's guaranteed, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
So if I show up in the pilot with a black eye, you know I got a little overzealous.
I got beat up by the bag. Yeah.
Heavy bag punching back.
Very real. That's good. Whether you're 10 years old or 100 years old, you can accommodate any fitness level,
yes,
beginner or advanced.
Any fitness level. It doesn't matter. Most of the members, they come in for the first time, have never thrown a punch in their life. And
yeah.
It's, you know, interesting to see how they go from throwing punches like yeah. this. I know people can't see me on the radio.
Right, exactly. But he looks ridiculous.
Yes. Yeah.
And I would also suggest that you're probably the only fitness club in town where you can get personal training from ex-NFL Falcon right. stars, right?
Well, I wouldn't say that we're the only fitness place in town, but I can guarantee you this. So
no, with,
we talked about memberships really quick.
Yeah.
You were saying with former Falcons on site.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
They're the best. They're the best.
We'll just say, yes, we are.
Yes,
there you go.
There you go. But there you go.
So you have memberships available. Anybody can sign up.
Yes, anybody can sign up. And another thing, just the great thing is every workout that you take, it's almost like a personal training session. So, you know, when you talk about your bang for your buck, I don't think there's a better deal in town.
Right. So if you're an overweight actor looking to get into shape,
go
see
Title
Boxing.
Looking at over there.
Absolutely.
He looked me right in the eyes.
Good God.
The thing is for us, you know, we work these crazy hours, and it's always like, where do you want to go to eat? We'll go to Grindhouse Burgers, and not that Grindhouse is delicious,
yeah.
But let's be honest, it's not the most healthy thing.
Yeah, they're not a sponsor. That's okay. Yeah.
I will say this. When I was running for office and always trying to develop, you know, ideas and writing speeches and things, some of my most creative moments came when I was on a treadmill or a stair climber or doing some intense activity,
sure.
All that blood flow.
Yeah, the endorphins.
Yes, yeah, so if you guys get in that writer's rut, you get in that block,
come
to Title, get a workout in. I guarantee it will inspire you.
Yes. Excellent advice.
I'm telling you.
What do you guys think, like an episode being shot there? Or
you know what's funny
sequence?
Is
boxing groom, absolutely.
We originally in the pilot, we had an idea to do like a wrestling scene, and we were like, well, where can we get a ring, man? There's no way that we can get a wrestling ring. If only we'd have known.
Yeah.
If only we didn't
And now we're going to Title Boxing for free to film.
Yay, thanks, guys.
Wow.
Hey, like I said,
the best.
You heard it here on Radio X.
A couple cameos can get you a long way in Title Boxing Club.
Title Boxing Club is the official sponsor of the pilot episode.
Radio.
Did we just officially lose control of the show?
I think
here?
So. Right. It's
well, right. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in today. We will.
He said at the beginning, they take over. We're just going to leave the studio. Yeah, yeah. So we're off next week, right?
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
Jim might come back and we might still be here.
Right. I have a feeling. We do have security in the building. Yeah. Can you call Judy up at the front desk or whatever? Send her over or whatever. Yeah.
She'll take
her.
Leaving.
These two are big guys. I wouldn't mess.
I'm telling you.
Judy looked pretty tough, too.
Yeah, no, don't mess with Judy. Right. Yeah.
She's our security guard.
Yes. Big time. All right, well, gentlemen, it's been an amazing show. It's been a lot of fun, very informative, learned a lot of stuff, and kudos to all that you guys have done so far on levels there.
Us, thanks so much.
Yes, thanks
and,
so much for having us.
Yeah, remind our listeners again, every Tuesday, 10 a.m., you can hear live broadcasting right here on Business Radio X. Right here in Peachtree offices, high above the beautiful Buckhead across from Lenox Mall. If you want to be a guest on our show, just go to our website, follow the link, and you can book yourself today.
All right, we'll see you next week.